You're listening to the Ones Ready podcast, a team of Air Force special operators forged in combat with over 70 years of combined operational experience, as well as a decade of selection instructor experience. If you're tired of settling and you want to do something you truly believe in, you're in the right place. Now here's your favorite CCT personality, JTAC extraordinaire, embracer of the ridiculous face, and like the shortest operator you'll ever meet, Peaches.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Ones Ready podcast. You're in the team room with us. As you can tell, I am back after being disciplined by Brian. No big deal. I'll take my punishment. That's right. I heard it. I'm aware of what you guys are saying. So, but I'm back. As you can tell, I'm a little bit hoarse, but I'm in it to win it. So, which kind of falls in line with the topic that we're going to be talking about today, which is overcoming obstacles. I didn't do too well overcoming obstacles when we recorded the last podcast, but I'm here tonight and still bearing with you. So what does it mean to move towards an obstacle? We all have these inherent feelings and reactions built inside us. You know, we've all heard of the fight or flight. But what does that really mean to us when we have an obstacle that we have to overcome to get to our desired goal? So we will talk about that in this podcast. But first, we want to talk about one of our affiliates, one of our partners that we really, really appreciate and that we utilize a lot, which is Strike Force Energy, strikeforceenergy.com. If you guys want to, here's the promo code is OnesReady. And here's why I like Strikeforce. Obviously, I was going to say One's Ready, but here's why I like Strikeforce. It comes in little packets. If you're used to drinking the energy cans, you know, they rupture in your ruck. They become quite sticky once they dry, and they're kind of a mess, especially if you're rucking, they're bouncing around like crazy, or if you happen to be jumping your ruck in, and then it smashes on the ground along with your radios and all that kind of stuff, right? So Strikeforce Energy, because they are prior SEALs and prior boat guys, they actually design these little packets that you can throw in your ruck, or you can throw in your load-bearing equipment or your body armor, and then you can jump in, you can do a direct action, you can just go out for a ruck and do training, and you don't have to worry about them getting shaken up, you don't have to worry about them rupturing. They are solid and they are ready for you when you need that energy boost. These packets, they come in several different flavors. They've got original, lemon, grape, and then there's orange as well. Yep, orange, yeah, which orange. I think is one
Don't discount my favorite one. Man, I love the orange. The orange is my heat.
I call it the breakfast blend. So.
I don't know about breakfast blend, but okay. I'm actually partial to the original. I really like the original, but... So, and what I like about it too, is it doesn't get me to the point where, you know, if we've probably all taken pre-workout at some point, but we get those shakes, doesn't give me any of that, which is what I like. And I don't get that. What is that called, Aaron? When you get the kind of flush, in your face after taking a pre-workout?
It's called being flush in your face.
Oh, okay.
Is it
cool.
Just blushing?
Well, I figured a PJ would know all the medical terms about it, but whatever.
I'm not a very good PJ. You should ask Brian.
I've been telling you that for years.
I know. I don't take input well either. Come on.
Yeah. So if you guys are interested in it, please go to strikeforceenergy.com, enter the promo code OnesReady, and you guys will get a good discount on your order. I kind of touched a little bit on what we're going to talk about. When you have obstacles in your way, sometimes that obstacle is not necessarily in your way because of a goal, right? Maybe your car battery died. Maybe you've got some other hurdle in your way that's keeping you from that end point or that end goal that you need to get to. And really it's how you react and how you attack that obstacle is what's going to not necessarily define you, but you know, that obstacle may keep you from getting to your goal. And that doesn't work out well for anybody. So, Trent, what does moving towards an obstacle mean to you specifically?
So, when I think about moving towards obstacles, I think about the biggest thing about obstacles is how we think about obstacles, right? Getting your mind right. So, when I think about any of the difficult things that I've done in my career, I always go back to when I was a teenager and I was afraid of heights, like really afraid of heights, which sounds weird saying now, but I was. But due to the amount of testosterone in my body and me getting my mind right, what I realized was heights wasn't an obstacle. It was a means to more adrenaline. And so I took that incredible fear. I flipped it around and said, if I go bungee jumping, the high I get from bungee jumping is way better than any of the other people that are out here that aren't even nearly as afraid as I am. And so just changing your perspective on those things, moving towards those obstacles and realizing that at least half of that obstacle is in your mind. It's not going to be, it's probably not going to be as bad as you think it is. And it's going to be worse than you think it is if you don't have your mind right. So getting that correct perspective, getting a positive perspective and getting to that obstacle and attacking it in the right way and realizing if it's a physical obstacle, like what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to get stronger. You're going to get better. You're going to get past it. Right. And so,
or you're going to die. I mean, that could happen. You could die, you know, Trent. Like, that's the worst that could happen.
That's not, because then you don't have to worry about it anymore.
That's such a good point. What is what's the EOD motto? Initial success or total failure? Right. That's one of my favorite ones of all time. Like, hey, EOD tech, why aren't you stressed? Oh, because I'm going to be right immediately or at someone else's problem.
Right. Or right. It's going to happen so quick that they don't know anyway.
Solid. It's a bunch of vapor. Who cares? But I mean, that's the thing though, is we see it in the pipeline. Guys, you'll drop a set of students and some of the students will get super negative and be like, why do I have to do this? This is miserable. I didn't do anything wrong. This, you know, chucklehead over here did something wrong. And now I'm doing pushups instead of being like, hey, the worst thing that can happen right now is I get stronger. I get better at pushups. The more pushups I do with proper recovery, the less it's going to affect me in the future. And it's just going to make me more successful. So your perspective and how you deal with it is everything to me.
Because you're going to do a lot of pushups.
Yeah, especially in the pipeline.
Lots of push-ups.
It's funny too, because you're not the only person that I've heard of that skydives that is, you know, afraid of heights. I don't know if you're still afraid of heights, but I know a controller who is still afraid of heights, and he's got, God, he must have about 2,000 jumps.
Yeah, I'll say fast roping and rappelling are worse than skydiving. Skydiving, my brain doesn't make that connection. But the first time going over that wall and rappelling, was way worse than jumping out of a plane.
Well, dude, I'm a firm believer that fast roping is one of the most dangerous things we do.
It is absolutely one of the most dangerous things we do, especially when you got weight on there. Like, it's just controlled falling is all it is. It's not actually anything. You're not tied to anything, so there's no safety or anything like that. So it's
especially coming out of the back of a 53, because you can't stop. You're sliding towards that rope. So if you miss it, you are done.
I know, man. Yeah. CV22 has got to be the worst one. The fast rope out of
the rope.
Yeah. The rope. Yeah, exactly. 45 degrees from the plane in the ground. It's terrible.
I would like to say hard pass on all of this. Hard pass. I don't want to do any of this stuff.
Well, so just so we're not talking over anybody's head, if you guys aren't aware, a CV22, you know, it's got the dual rotors, right? But it creates such an incredible downforce and what we call rotor wash that the rope itself that, you know, is generally straight down the way it depicts in all the videos and all the movies and what happens out of, you know, 60s and 53s and stuff like that. The rope goes straight down, but a CV22, it generally goes out at an angle. Plus, where the Fry's bar is, which is the bar that the rope attaches to, like from the edge of the ramp to the Fry's bar, I mean, it is.
You're reaching out to your death, into the abyss. Try doing it at night. You're like, okay, well, here we go.
You just reach out over to the.
Good thing we're at.
Good thing we're at 90 feet.
Especially for, you know, little arms here.
Just a jump. Actually.
There's a little hop that's involved in that.
So that, just to explain a little bit for what anyone else that hasn't fast roped out of a CV22, it's a little spicy.
It's terrifying.
They hold a good hover, though. They really do.
Yeah.
But, okay. So, Aaron, what does, you know, moving towards obstacles and surmounting obstacles mean to you?
For me, it's just persistence. I had somebody that told me one time when they were trying to tell me, because again, if you know anything about my history or you've heard me blabber on, it took me four separate times to get through. I've been on four endoc teams, right? So I went through the first two times, didn't make it, cross train, came back, hurt myself on that first team and had to go home, like wasn't able to complete training. So, you know, by the time it was almost to the time where my friends and family were kind of looking at me like, hey man, is it this important? Like, this is the second or third time that you had, you know, a serious injury and you've been spending, you know, years of your life in selection at this point. Like, what are you doing, man? I hope this is all worth it. But somebody looked at me, as opposed to just calling me stubborn or calling me stupid, they were like, you know, you're really persistent. But I think that's a
thank you.
For me, that was a backhanded compliment, but hey, I'll take it, you know? So, but that's all it is for me, is like, you just have to keep knocking it down, whether it's your 5 meter target, whether it's a pop up that you have to deal with in your day, like your car won't start or adulting catches up to you and you filled out the wrong form or you sent a package to somewhere that's like 2.5 hours away from its intended address, right? Like those are just, maybe you sleep through a podcast. I don't know. Like, sometimes stuff happens. So, you know, maybe you're not on one. Maybe Brian punishes you and sits you down. Like those obstacles and stuff, those are just pop-ups, but you just have to be consistent and persistent in knocking them down and just knowing, like, I'm going to attack this next one because you get better at it. I think people get too stressed over stuff like this because they kind of avoid it or they put it off or they procrastinate on the actions that they know darn well they have to take. Very seldomly do your actions change from the second that you realize that you've got a problem. You know, I kind of liken it to walking down a hallway backwards. A lot of people in life walk down hallways backwards, and when problems pop up, they can fix the problem that's they can see, but they never turn around. And they never start projecting out and getting ahead of those obstacles. And the second that you turn around in that hallway and you start projecting out and forecasting and using some vision, you can avoid way more obstacles. But you never stop moving towards it. You just, by sheer of, you know, your own will, you can start knocking those things down. And that's definitely one of those things that I thought about kind of on that fourth team at those 4 o'clock wake ups, knowing darn well it was coming every single time. Like, you just had to keep going. You just had to put your head down and you know what this is. So
yeah, I think one of the most important things you said there was knowing that the obstacles are going to come, because like you said, you know that you're going to mess up. You know that you're going to have to go on another team. You know there's going to be a wake up. You know that you're going to get dropped, like Trent was talking about before, and still being able to persist and push through those obstacles that these guys are talking about is the key. And we have our daily obstacles that we have in life. Like, you know, we need to go mail this thing. We need to go do this and that. I have like a whole checklist downstairs of things that I needed to get done over this whole break that we've had. Some of them, you know, got pushed to the side that are less important, but these big obstacles, keep on moving forward and keep on pushing. Stuff's going to pop up, you know, like Aaron was talking about, things happen, but you know, us as a team also move towards those obstacles and we figure it out. We're like, all right, this happened. Let's move on to the next thing. We're supposed to do a podcast with another person tonight, but it didn't happen. Let's move on to the next thing and then just keep on going and hitting up whatever we can, making up for whatever lost time we got.
No, you're right. And I think part of that, or at least being successful in surmounting obstacles, is acknowledging that they exist. Ignoring them doesn't do you or anybody else any good. So, you know, and you talk about, I think you what you're talking about, Brian, at least in your checklist of things that you needed to do was a lot of time management as well. Maybe there were some obstacles in there as well too, but you Definitely. Acknowledge it, right? You acknowledge it. If my car battery dies, or, you know, I've got to get my kids flu shots or something like that. And okay, these are minor obstacles, but if I sit here and ignore the check engine light on my car, then, you know, at some point that obstacle that is this small is now going to grow significantly. And it's all because I ignored it. For why? Because maybe it's poor time management on my part, but also maybe it's just like, well, I don't know how to fix it, or I don't know what I'm doing, so I'll just ignore it and pretend it doesn't exist. It's kind of like a dog, you know, that's torn up a couch or decided to take a crap in your house, and they just kind of, oh God, don't look, don't look, don't look. And if I don't see you, then you're not really mad at me. Sorry, I deal with dogs.
That's hilarious. Fun story. My dog Odin used to dig in Vegas when I lived in Vegas. He would dig in the backyard, right? Well, we had that like really kitty litter kind of consistency, red rock. So he would come, he's a black dog, and his nose would be bright red. And you'd be like, Odin, were you digging? And he'd totally just be like, no.
No way I was digging. No.
No way. Not me.
So that's what I mean. Like, you can't ignore it. And I've done it too. I got a plumbing issue going on right now, and I'm kind of like, I think it's good enough, you know. But I don't really know what I'm doing.
Is that why you're coming to the audience from the peach shed tonight?
No. I'm already in the doghouse.
That's actually a full size doghouse too. That's just how small you are. You can stand up in it. It's actually a doghouse.
No, this is the garage is the quarantine for me.
No, just something that popped in my head is if you have goals and priorities and a rubric of goals, say like you're trying to get through the pipeline. When you have obstacles, you need to prioritize how much time you're going to spend on everything and decide what's actually an obstacle and what's not. Because we talk about ignoring actual obstacles, but I see a lot of students taking things that are not, they shouldn't take up any of their time. Like some of the stuff that happens back home or their own personal ego or maybe disagreements with other students after hours. Those are not real obstacles that you need to spend a lot of time and energy on.
Fights on social media.
But just filter it through your actual goals and then find out if it's something that you really need to approach as an obstacle or just push off to the side and ignore.
No, I agree. I mean, it's just like a student or somebody who's training for the pipeline that can easily run, you know, 6 minute flat miles. Like, I mean, it's not even a challenge to them. They're the guy that's kind of up talking to everybody while they're running a 6 minute mile, but he sucks in the pool. And he knows, he acknowledges and he knows he sucks in the pool, but yet he's like, man, I'm gonna go out and run because that's where I'm comfortable. That pool is my obstacle. Going in and training for 4 hours a day or 5 hours a day, doing things that I'm uncomfortable with, that is his obstacle. And dedicating that time to that obstacle he's not dedicating that time to that obstacle. It's going to end up screwing him in the long run. That's why I'm a big fan of training, you know, training to your weakness. Because if I'm always, you know, clean and jerking, or I'm always, you know, well, I say that, but I'm not good at anything, but I can squat pretty well, but like, if I just do that, then I've got a little bit of room to travel. It's kind of like push-ups. I'm really good at push-ups too. So, but I mean, if I just train to those, you know, two things, then everything else falls by the wayside. And why am I not doing it? Because I'm scared or because it's uncomfortable? No, I need to attack those even harder than I would anything else in my training regime, because that's the only way I'm going to get better and improve my chances of making it through the pipeline or improving my fitness or getting that six pack that I've never had.
You can do it. Don't lose hope.
You got this. Yeah. 40 is you can do it. A number.
it is a number, but it's highly valid in this context.
Not my number.
Not his number yet. No.
Not conducive to that six pack.
Like, overcoming obstacles, to me, it's, well, first of all, an obstacle in the way of thinking, you know, I talked about the checklist and everything. I have a goal, and whether my goal is to do a podcast today, my goal is to take the kids to like a little theme park or something and go have fun with them. My goal is to do whatever it is, but obstacles are always going to pop up, whether it be like, we need to go get gas, we blew a tire, you know, the camera's down for the podcast, any other thing that pops up. So, you know, I say burn the boats a lot. And in this context, you know, the whole backstory of burn the boats is whenever you land and you see an obstacle in front of you, you don't have a way to retreat. You don't have something to go back on, like, oh, I should just go sit on the couch, or I should just go back to bed because this sucks. And I know I could just go back to bed. Nothing's going to happen. Obviously, no one really cares if I do this or not. You know, we could have just not done a podcast. We could have just said, hey, something happened that wasn't in our favor, so let's just do nothing instead and go have a beer or whatever, which, you know, sounds nice to anybody, but no progress is going to be made in the podcast. You guys are going to be able to get to be able to hear us, and we're not going to be able to tell you guys about this whole obstacle thing. So, you know, the point is burn the boats is don't leave yourself any outs. Go forth and know that you're going to conquer no matter what obstacle comes in front of you, whether it be just a flat tire or something worse that may happen. You know, you still have that goal in mind, and there's still a way to get the job done. So it's always finding that thing. And I think by not actually taking care of the little obstacles that are in front of you, of your daily life, whether it be like, you know, the clothes, all the other stuff that comes with just daily living, all those obstacles, you set a precedence for not taking care of those bigger obstacles. Because once you quit, you know, doing the stuff that you're supposed to be doing, that makes you comfortable and be able to step back and be like, well, you know, I stopped on that run last time. I don't have to really finish it this time. I went like 1 second better, or I did half my workout at the gym. You know, I could just probably just rest off of that, and it's probably good enough. So it sets that precedence of you being lazy, basically. So overcoming obstacles, to me, you know, you're going to do it throughout your entire time in the pipeline. You're going to be constantly tested. Evals, whether it's physical or mental, like paramedic school, you have your AFSOC that you always do. You have tons and tons of tests that you're just constantly doing. You know, I'm going through PA school, and there are over 100 tests that I had to do to get my bachelor's degree in 13 months. Like, no joke, that's what I had to do. And that was constant obstacles. And talking about anxiety, like, you fail one test or two tests, and failing means getting below a 75%. So you fail two tests in a row and you're out of the entire program, and 2 years of your life could possibly be wasted. So, you know, a lot of obstacles.
Yeah, no pressure though. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly. And then my whole family, like, I have to go back and tell you guys that I failed at PA school, because I would have to go back to the PJ career field and be like, what happened? You get out early, you graduate early? Like, no, I failed at being a PA. So
yeah, I got out early. I finished in record time.
Yeah.
You wouldn't hear too much about it. Yeah.
No. No, it definitely wouldn't get brought up on the podcast at all.
Yeah, ever.
No, you'd be fine.
So I couldn't let anything like that happen. So I had to put my all and move towards those obstacles, whether it be like spending 15 hours the day before or the weekend before trying to study for those things. And, you know, you're going to be a better person for moving towards those obstacles, because in the future, the obstacles are only going to get bigger. You're going to have more responsibility. Like, all you guys can attest, right now, when we were in the pipeline, the obstacles were, I got to buddy breathe and I got to do that. And really, you don't have that much invested in the pipeline or anything like that. You don't have anybody that you need to take care of. You don't have any of these other things like a house and all that other stuff that you got to actually worry about if you end up failing. But when you get, you know, a little bit adding on the years and adding on stuff, responsibilities, you need to keep on moving towards those obstacles, because that sets the precedence.
Some of those cross trainees definitely have a life potentially.
Yeah.
So that's real. I like what you said though. And you reminded me of, I had a chief, Michael LaMonica, combat controller, who's kind of a legend in CCT. You guys may have heard of him, but, he was an instructor. If I remember right, he was the commandant of combat control school whenever I showed up. And one of the things that he said was, take care of the small things and the big things will follow. Because you get all those little ankle biters that just keep just weighing you down and dragging you down. And you know, like, because you can see them, you can see the big things or the big obstacles that you need to take care of. But these little ankle biters, they keep getting you. And if you start knocking those out easily, it'll give you the opportunity to focus on those big things. And that was big. I carry that. I mean, I carry that today, even now. So that was good.
Yeah, that's a good one. Like Trent said, you know, excellence is a habit. Like, that stuff is developed. Like, moving towards obstacles is something you can train yourself to do. So you just have to be all about it.
Trent, you kind of brought up, you know, a point in your training that, you know, your specific obstacle that you had with heights. Do you have any, like, so that was internal to you. Did you have any external obstacles, you know, people telling you you couldn't do this, or maybe you're super short, or maybe you're really skinny? Like, what are some of the other external obstacles? That wasn't a shot.
Golly.
Yeah. Well, I was really skinny. So I actually had an NCO before I crossed over that used to ask me where my organs were because there wasn't space in my body for organs.
That's actually a good one.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, great.
But still mad about it, huh?
No.
Yeah. A lot of hurt behind those words.
Yeah. He's still there and I'm here, so it's all good.
No.
But that was a big thing is as a young airman, NCOs kind of trying to bring me down when I was trying to cross over to the other side. It's not that it got me down too much, but it's easy to get comfortable where you're at, and it's not easier when people are saying, why are you trying to do this? Why are you going out to run? It's hard enough to get out, you know, in the middle of your shift and go put down 5 or 6 miles or whatever it is that you need to do, knock out your cows before you cross over, trying to, you know, do something better for yourself. So I encountered a fair bit of that. It got a little bit easier once you start actually assessing who's saying what to you and their waistline. So,
I love it.
That's just one of the things that stuck with me, you know? So, and then on top of that, the physical stuff, I was a super skinny guy. I remember being at, and I think I've told you guys this, when I was at AST, for a little bit there, I actually dropped below 150 pounds. So, just like everything else, I think one of the advantages I have coming into life, and it's kind of a tangent, is I had these reach back moments from before I joined the military where I'd done some hard stuff. And I was able to reach into those moments and say, well, how did I get through that? And the way that I got through that is this inner monologue in my head all the time saying, you can do it, you can do it. Just 2 more steps, 1 more step, keep going. And that's what got me through all those moments is my inner monologue is it won't shut up. It just keeps going. So getting that to say the right thing, making your mind work for you instead of against you is the key to everything for me.
So you took it more of a positive internal dialogue with yourself rather than a negative.
Right. And it's not like an automatic thing, right? So I wake up in the morning, I spend 5 minutes, especially when I'm in a training environment, just laying in bed, thinking about everything that I need to do that day, everything that's going to suck and visualizing myself making it through that. And then making sure that when I get to those points where I'm going to struggle, I just start that monologue in my head. Like, I can do this. These other people have done it. You know, it's like the saying, we make fun of guys when they get the braids every once in a while and be like, congratulations, you've done something that only thousands have done before you. you know, but you know,
look around,
other people around me.
Yikes.
But whatever it takes, you know, like you're sitting at airborne school and you're like, this is stupid. But you look around and you're like, okay, this isn't going to be, I mean, it's not hard. It's just, it is what it is. So suck it up, be positive and get through it and make some friends, you know?
Yeah. Old, Jared knows old Chief Bill Adams. If you can't get out of it, might as well get into it.
That's it.
Yeah. I always remember him saying that. You know, it's funny, Trent, that you mentioned that. The very last TDY I took before I went to selection as a phys tech, we were wrapping up. We were done. We were in the AAR and the team chief looks at me and goes, hey man, thanks for coming out. What are you doing? And I think it was October. And I was like, I'm going to selection in September, so I probably won't be available. He's trying to set up another trip. He looked me dead in the face in front of other people and was like, oh, cool. I'll schedule you for that. It didn't work out last time. I don't think it will work. I don't think it'll work out this time. Like to my, I was like, okay. I always remember that, dude. I may or may not. I'm not on Kevin Hart's level. Like if you watch Kevin Hart's special, he wrote a little handwritten note and sent one of his critics an $8,000 bottle of wine. I'm not on that level to be that petty, but I may or may not have mailed an official photo with me and my beret when I was done.
That's awesome.
But he may have actually helped you get through it because guy saying that in your head, you're like, screw that guy. I'm not going to give him the satisfaction of coming back and going on that stupid whatever TDY he had lined up, not going to give him that satisfaction. So I'm sure that was playing in your head a little
absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely. It fueled my hate fire, like in Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect. I just want to make sure that's what was brought up just now.
Pitch Perfect. Yeah, it fuels my hate fire. It's when Amy gets hit with the burrito and she leaves it there because it fuels her hate. Come on. All right. We all know this.
Next up,
No, we don't. We don't all know this.
Yeah. You guys put some white clothes or anything?
I know.
Ooh.
Pitch Perfect, great movie.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, we've heard from both of you guys. I'm interested in what Mr. PA thinks.
All right.
Please, so, PA student.
Yeah, PA student currently. Thank you. Bringing back to reality. I'm still in the suck right now for PA school. All right. So, obstacles for me, I had the same thing whenever I first joined the military. I didn't know anybody that was in the military that can guide me through any of the special operations stuff. And obviously, same thing with the recruiter. They didn't think I could do it. Even when I showed up at selection, I was also a tiny dude. I'm still not a huge dude, but because I knew you were going to throw that in there, Aaron. But also, you know, I was a skinny dude. And even at the apprentice course, they were like, can you even buddy carry this dude? So I'd, you know, get through it and just throw some dudes on my shoulders and struggle through it because they were 200 plus pounds or whatever. And I was 150 pounds, but you still got to do it. You can't pick your patient. So moving through those kind of obstacles were a huge thing. And, you know, one of the biggest obstacles that I faced while I was in the pipeline was when I was at NDOC. And that really set the precedence for everything that I was going to do for the rest of my actually career until now was, you know, when Major Adrian passed, I know, you know, it's really had a huge effect in my life because having someone pass away that early in the game into the whole special operations thing, during training, during all the things that I was going to do, that was my first experience in the Air Force period. So I didn't know what the rest of the Air Force was actually like, but I knew that, you know, one of my teammates just passed away doing an underwater. And I was like, well, you know, I can either choose to stop doing what I'm doing and then go home. Obviously, I can continue to live whatever comfortable life that I was doing before. Or I can go and do another job in the Air Force. Again, I didn't know what any other job in the Air Force is like. But or I can continue to push through and make it through. Obviously, honor this guy who I believed in. So, you know, moving through that obstacle kind of set the precedence for everything else that I was going to do in my life. No matter what, the stakes are always going to be high, even if it's a small thing, even if it's just, you know, putting your clothes away, making sure the car runs, you know, all those little things that you need to do, like the small ankle biters that you need to take care of, because you want to take care of those in order to take care of those big obstacles. And that's kind of what I've, you know, done with this whole thing, with the How to Be a PJ, with the Ones Ready thing. We want to make sure that I try my best at every single task that is put in front of me to make sure that all this stuff gets done and we can leave our legacy. We can pass on these lessons to future generations. And, you know, that is, for me, the biggest obstacle that has made a huge impact on my life.
Yeah. It's funny. I think an overall theme, probably with all of us, because I had the same thing, right? I had the naysayers. I had the TI, the you know, your, oh boy, your basic training instructor. Yeah, him.
MTI. MTI.
That's how much he meant to me. That's how much he influenced me. Yeah, I forget. He said something to the effect that if I was ever to become a combat controller, that he would retire on the spot or something like that. And again, that's probably some of the game and the hate that he's throwing at me because he's a basic training instructor. So I get it, but, you know, it's that Trent, that's why I asked you about your internal dialogue being positive, because my internal dialogue is pretty negative. Like I talk some serious trash about myself, just because that's what drives me. I mean, it's pretty dark, and brutal, the things I say about myself or think about myself. But Brian, you're right. I mean, if there's a Mr. Hertz who's 250 pounds, if I remember right, or there's a hurt dude and it's like, well, I'm the only dude here that can actually has the hands to carry this guy. Man, all right, let me throw him on my back. I'm not going to go like, oh man, is there, so maybe for a second I might go, okay, is there a way that I can figure out how to to problem solve this and better carry him? Like, don't get me wrong, I am going to take a quick second to go, let me problem solve this real quick.
I'm going to look around just for a second, be like, is there no one else? Is there
a Mark Bedell?
Is there no sled?
Is there a Mark Bedell around that can grab this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, no? Okay, well, I guess I got him then. So, yeah, but again, I don't shy away from it. It's like, okay, well, shit, shoot, here we go. So let's do it. So no, that's good. But I definitely think the trend is what I'm noticing is that it is definitely external obstacles are from people for the most part. So I think that's pretty interesting. And sad too, really, because I know that there are people out there that are training for the pipeline that are either cross trainees or they're in high school, or maybe they're older, you know, maybe they're 34 years old with a family and they're not necessarily getting the support, either from their family or their friends or their immediate family, or even their coworkers that they probably should be getting. And you mentioned it in the last podcast, but not getting support from your own chain of command, which can be really frustrating and almost cut you off at the knees. So,
only if you let it.
Only if you
keep,
let it.
Yeah, you got to keep that strong mental presence and know why you're doing this in the first place. And know that there are people, that's why we're doing this whole thing. You know, obviously, we're here for you guys. Everything that we can do to help you out, you can hit recruiters up on the website. And we have all the tools available. So don't let one person's view on the world, even if it's like a negative view, or if they tried out for a selection and they didn't make it, so they have this view that no one else can make it because they didn't make it because they felt like they put in the time. You know, don't let that cut you off, like Peach said.
Yeah, completely agree. So,
and can I just say there's one other thing, and I don't want to get too far into goal setting or anything like that right now, but we tend to look at the pipeline as an obstacle. And I've talked about this a little bit before, and it's easy to look at the end state and take the whole pipeline and look at it as a single obstacle, where it's not. We're going to take you over that first wall that's like 3 feet high, and then the 5 foot high wall, the 10 foot high wall, and every wall that you get over, it's going to get a little bit easier to run towards the next wall and be like, well, I made it over the last one. I think I can get over the next one. So one of the parts of the mental game is break all the obstacles down into little pieces, because it's not all going to happen tomorrow. You're not going to get through the entire pipeline tomorrow. You're not going to hit grad standards tomorrow. You're not, you know, going to stay up for 24 hours and then ruck 15 miles the first day of the pipeline, probably. So,
keep your options open. I mean, let's not speak too brazenly. We don't know how tomorrow's going to go.
Don't close that door. Yeah, don't close that door.
I don't want to have to bring the ANS guys. They'd be upset. So, yeah. Whatever they want to do.
Real quick, the other thing that I want to talk about with the obstacles is that any task that we do in life, the harder the obstacle that we had to face in order to achieve that goal, the more that goal is actually going to be worth it to us. There's a reason why people look at that beret and they're like, wow, I wish I can have that thing, because it's so far away and there are so many obstacles in between them and that beret. Especially once you graduate high school, you're like, how am I ever going to be in that position like those dudes on stage? By the way, I'm going to the PJ graduation next week, so I'm pretty stoked about doing that, to see these guys that have overcome all these obstacles over the past 2.5 or even more years, you know, if you count the time they put in civilian training, to get to that point where I remember that feeling like blousing my boots and then they say don your beret, and it's just like, holy crap, I'm actually here doing this, like after all this training that I did, after all these fights and all these naysayings and other obstacles that I have had to overcome, like this is totally worth it. So the harder the obstacles are, and the more that you train to overcome those obstacles, the more it's going to be worth it once you actually get to that point in your life where you are donning your beret or you're getting that goal that you've been trying to achieve.
You know, what's funny about that too is that when you talk about, you know, looking back on the pipeline, at least for me, I look back and I go, holy cow, yeah, that was hard. But at the same time, I'm almost like, well, it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. Yeah. I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that bad.
I mean, hey,
all the lies we tell ourselves.
Well, your memory just hides that stuff. It's like a innate thing that just protects yourself. You don't remember all the bad things that happened. You just remember the funny times. Like, oh, remember when
So that's what I was just gonna bring up childbirth. Like my wife said if she remembered what that pain was, she would not have done it again.
All right, yeah, so pitch perfect, off bounds, childbirth, totally cool. Okay, I'm just trying to take the temperature of this podcast.
Oh man, I'll tell you what, it's been spicy. We've been throwing all kinds of shade at each other.
Good God. Man, it's a tough one. Everybody's upset. Man, the group chat's been lit.
I haven't had coffee for 2 days. I already told you this.
So grumpy.
All right. Well, unless anybody has any parting shots, I'm going to close this out.
I'm good.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, we've talked about overcoming obstacles, both internal and external to your life. So identify those obstacles, find ways to attack them. Don't shy away from them, attack them, and get to your end goal, whether that is finishing the pipeline and getting your beret, whether that's getting the check engine light on your car figured out. Don't shy away. Don't ignore the obstacles because they're not going anywhere. You're going to have to overcome them and face them at some point. So attack those obstacles and get after it. Please go check us out at onesready.com. Check out the podcast. Check out our affiliates. We've got three of them. We've got Alpha Brew, Strikeforce Energy, and Eberly Stock. All three great companies. All three are companies that we, in fact, use on a daily basis. And they have been very kind to us. And we hope that you're very kind to them because their equipment and their product is well worth your money. So that is it from me here. If you happen to listen to us on YouTube, please leave us a comment. We want to interact with you. If you find us on Instagram, interact with us, tag us. If you happen to do a smoking workout that's a little bit spicy, I may want to try it, or maybe some of the guys want to try it, tag us in it and we'll do it. Or I'll do it anyway. I can't Roger up you guys. That would be unfair for me. And then, you know, and find us on Facebook. And you'll find us on iTunes and Stitcher. If you find us on iTunes and Stitchers, please leave us a review if you like what you're listening to. And then again, we're on Spotify and Buzzsprout. So we appreciate you tuning in and giving us your time. We'll see you later.
Later.
Peace.